Let us humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace on this new moon day. It's also a Sabbath, which makes it doubly a blessing. Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace, and we come before you during this special time, Father, to seek your face. And we ask, Father, that you would bless all your servants that have gathered, taken time to observe this new moon service. We love you, Father, and we thank you for all that you've done for us. We know that Yahshua, our example and our Messiah, truly has led us to this place. He's led us, Father, through your Spirit, and he's overcome the world. And we want to overcome this world as well, completely, as Yahshua overcame. So we ask, Father, that you would guide us, that you would bless us, that you would open our hearts and minds so that we would be able to see all of the wonderful things that you have for us in your law, in your word. So again, Father, we ask for a blessing for those that have a petition before you on the prayer list. We ask that you would watch over your servants wherever they might find themselves, because truly, you're going to be with each and every one of us wherever we are, as long as we're being faithful, Father, to you. And you said in your word, where two or more are gathered, there you would be in the midst. So, Father, strengthen your people and bless us as we seek to do that which is right in your sight each and every day. And we rejoice, Father, to know that we are your people. And it's in Yahshua's name we ask all these things and blessings. Hallelujah. This message is entitled, Tevet. The spirits are very active at this time of year. I'm going to read Numbers chapter 10 to start the message, starting in verse 1, Numbers chapter 10, verse 1. It says, "And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Make yourselves two trumpets of silver, of beaten work. You shall make them, and you shall use them for the calling of the congregation, and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow them, all the congregation shall gather themselves to you at the door of the tent of meeting." There was no temple at that time, but the tent of meeting is where they held their services. And that's where the congregation would gather. If they blow but one, then the princes and the heads of the thousands of Israel shall gather themselves to you. And when you shall blow an alarm, the camps that lie on the east side shall take their journey. And when you shall blow an alarm the second time, the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journey. But when the assembly is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but you shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets, and they shall be to you for a statute forever throughout your generation. This is something that's going to go on time out of mind throughout our generation. It's a continual offering, covenant, that we have to do. And when you go to war in your land against the adversary that oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpet, and you shall be remembered before Yahweh your Elohim, and you shall be saved from your enemy. And this is something that Judah, Maccabees, and as well as his brethren, did when they fought the Gentiles, when they fought those that were oppressing them. They blew the trumpet, and Yahweh saved them. It says in verse 10, "Also in the day of your gladness, and in your set feast, and in the beginning of your month." And that's where we are tonight. We're on the Sabbath, but it's also the beginning of the month Tevet, the 10th month. You shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings, over your sacrifices, over your peace offerings, and they shall be to you for a memorial before your Elohim. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. So Yahweh commanded that we blow the shofar, the trumpet, at the new moon and on the feast day. The Sabbath is the first of the feast day. And we see that in the Leviticus chapter 23. Starting in verse 1, it says, And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, The set feast of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation. Even these are my set feasts. 6 days shall work be done. But on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no manner of work. It is a Sabbath to Yahweh in all your dwellings. Turn over to Psalm 81, verse 3 and 4. It says, The trumpet at the moon, at the full moon, and on our feast day, it is a statute for Israel, an ordinance of the Elohim of Jacob. So this is something that was given that we should do on the feast days, the Sabbath, the feast days, and the new moon. So today we have a double in the new moon and the Sabbath day. So we have a double blessing. Tevet, the 10th month of the Hebrew calendar. This month, Tevet, which falls around December, sometimes in January, is known to stir up many evil desires in people's lives. The Hebrew word Tevet means the tenth attributed that enables a human being to be able to exchange or trade the gifts or talents of his natural strength into the spiritual realm that designs the purpose of his life. I preached a message not long ago about the new moon and the heightened spirituality of that and the full moon, because there is a pull, a real pull from the moon, the gravitational pull. We're made of water, so we ebb and flow based on the high tide, low tide, and the pull of the moon. Okay? Yahweh knows this because he made us. It says, the physical act of giving one's tithe to Yahweh, being generous, sharing and buying and selling or trading the things which promote Yahweh's reality in the earth, is also part of the spiritual energies which are released by Yahweh during the 10th month, called Tevet, on Yahweh's holy calendar. But on the other hand, Tevet is also the season when the negative energies of selfishness, the evil eye, love of money, evil trading, slavery, the buying and selling of idols become evident in this season. Now, we're going to look at the origin of the evil trade. The 10th month on the Hebrew calendar is the season when the forces of evil, which oppose Yahweh's authority in the earth, begin to warfare and to contend against Yahweh's chosen one. And you can see this was heavily active during the time of the Maccabees. And this is one of the reasons that I wanted to read it again so people could understand that There's a purpose for it. Even though we don't keep the Feast of Dedication like the Jews, we don't keep it as a holiday. We're studying it because we want to understand that Yahweh has a purpose. And that, we'll get into it a little bit later in this message, but that time when Antiochus Epiphany desecrated the temple, which was truly holy, by offering a pig, he corrupted the sacrifices of Yahweh. So Satan knows, you know, what's going on this time of year. It says, Nimrod, the founder of the Babylonian system of trading, selling, making, and buying of idols, established a law of opposing Yahweh through trading, where his stock market sold items of sorcery, witchcraft, and magic. And later on in the time of the Roman Empire, the Catholic Church transformed Nimrod's law of trading into a season called Saturnalia, also called Brumalia or Bacchanalia, the Feast of Bacchus, and the selling of the commodities that exalted their small idols called Janus and Saturn, trading of the gifts that go under the tree. The ancient reading says that Nimrod killed his father and married his mother, Semiramis. That's where you get the name Mary from, not Miriam. After the death of Nimrod, his mother continued to be the queen over his kingdom. She had a dream, and in that dream she saw Nimrod bringing presents or stolen goods that he had plundered from the people that refused to exalt him and serve him as king. And when he brought these treasures, he put them under a tree. When the queen woke up from her dream, she commanded that the kingdom should continue to put presents under the green tree in honor of Nimrod's birthday, which falls on the 25th of December, Christmas. And this same month, Ezra and Nehemiah died. It is said that the people being born in this month have a strong connection to the physical and material world, which denies Yahweh's existence. But it is also said that if those same people are able to find a spiritual and holy leadership, that can help them to shift their energies and invest or trade them with Yahweh, they also can become so zealous for Yahweh and turn out to be strong leaders for Yahweh. Tevet means the tenth, like the tithe in Hebrew. Tevet shares the same root as the Hebrew word tov, which means good. However, in this month, we commemorate many sad events, including the 10th of Tevet. The letter ayin means I in Hebrew. The month of Tevet is the month of the rectification and nullification of the evil eye. The word Tevet itself is referring to Tov Ayin, the goodly eye, the sources of the power of blessing, as it is said, the goodly eye shall bless you. Tevet begins its cycle with the last days of Hanukkah, welcoming it in and gazing at the Hanukkah candles, and they have Yahweh planned it this way. This day is the climax. Really, it's the culmination of the day of Hanukkah, the eighth day, which is called Zot Hanukkah by the rabbis. The meaning of Zot Hanukkah, or eighth dedication, literally means this is Hanukkah. All destructive processes begin with the evil eye of hatred, the hatred of the profane to the holy, the secret of the ten, the holy number, which we know is ordinal perfection. The month of contending for your faith in Yahweh. And we see this in our reading with the Maccabees. and the story of how they fought for their faith. Remember this day, the eighth day is called Hanukkah, as we said before. But why is it so named? Zot means this, and Zot Hanukkah is also called the final seal. And Abraham received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith. And it was this Zot, the eighth day circumcision given to Abraham, that would reveal the spiritual. So we know that a man child is born, and on the eighth day he's circumcised. That was the covenant, one of the first covenants that Yahweh had with man. Turn to Romans chapter 4 first. We'll start in verse 1. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has a good cause to glory, but not toward Yahweh. But what do the scriptures say? And Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. Now to him that works, the reward is not reckoned as of grace, but as of a debt. But to him that does not work, but believes on him who justifies the wicked, his faith is reckoned for righteousness. It says, even as David also pronounced blessing upon the man to whom Elohim reckons righteousness apart from works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom Yahweh will not reckon sin. Is this the blessing then pronounced on the circumcision or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say to Abraham, his faith was reckoned for righteousness. How then was it reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while he was in uncircumcision, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be in uncircumcision, that the righteousness might be reckoned to them, and the father of circumcision to them who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps that faith of our father Abraham, which he had in uncircumcision, for not through the law was the promise to Abraham or to his seed that he should be heir of the world, but through the righteousness of faith. So it was because of Abraham's faith that he made it to that point. Now, in 1 John chapter 4, as we continue, understanding that the tense stands for ordinal perfection. Yahweh does want his people to be perfect. We know over in Matthew 5, he tells us to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Beloved, in verse 1 of 1 John 4, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits, whether they are of Yahweh, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of Yahweh, every spirit that confesses that Yahshua the Messiah has come in the flesh is of Yahweh. And every spirit that confesses not Yahshua is not of Yahweh. And this is the spirit of the Antimessiah, of which you have heard that it comes, and now it is in the world already. You are of Yahweh, little children. You have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. We are of Yahweh. He that knows Yahweh hears us. He who is not of Yahweh does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, and we'll start in verse 11. And many false prophets shall arise. And shall lead many astray. And because lawlessness shall be multiplied, the love of the many shall grow cold. So we know if we're faithful, we're going to be keeping the Torah. We're not going to give in to lawlessness. When people come to you and try to get you to violate the covenant of Almighty Yahweh, you know that they are not of Yahweh. They're false prophets. They're trying to lead you astray. They're following Satan the devil. But he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And these good tidings of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a testimony to all the nations, and then shall the end come. When therefore you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place. Let him that reads understand. Then let them that are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him that is on the housetop go not down to take out the things that are in his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. And pray that your flight be not in the winter, either on the Sabbath, but then shall be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days had been shortened, no flesh would have been saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, we know that Daniel spoke of this prophecy, okay, in Daniel 11. Now, Antiochus Epiphanes fulfilled it as the abomination of desolation. He went and offered a sacrifice in the temple. But this is not speaking of Antiochus Epiphanes. Daniel covered it, okay? This is speaking about in the last days. This is why history repeats itself. We have to understand the word of Yahweh and apply it to our lives as it affects us. Okay? Now, continuing on in verse 23, it says, then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is the Messiah, or here, believe it not. For there shall arise false messiahs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. In Revelation 13, we know that the idol is going to come alive. Okay? And people are going to worship that idol. They're going to be worshiping the beast. It says, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. But it's not possible because the elect know their Elohim. They're going to do exploits, just like the Maccabees did during the days of Hanukkah. Behold, I have told you beforehand, if therefore they shall say to you, behold, he is in the wilderness, go not forth. And, you know, we're hearing of these people, and they're giving these dates that I can't remember his name recently. He changed it several times, but the end of the world was happening, and people listened. And people were selling their all their worldly goods and things of that nature. We have to become one with the Word so that we are considered elect. We have the knowledge. Now, we have been taught, and you think about the level of knowledge that we have compared to the general individuals out in the world. Most of them, they believe bits and pieces, things that they were told, a lot of false doctrine, and therefore, you know, we're trying to teach the people the meat of the word, the whole truth, the whole counsel of Yahweh. So we know as those that have that knowledge are not going to be running back and forth and chasing after these doctrines that come up as of late, because Yahweh is continually teaching us his truth. Again, it says in verse 26, and therefore they shall say to you, behold, he is in the wilderness, go not forth. Behold, he is in the inner chamber, believe it not. For as lightning comes forth from the east and is seen even to the west, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. See, the Bible is telling us what's going to happen. Wherever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. There's not going to be any rapture beforehand, because this says immediately after the tribulation of those days, they're going to be gathered together. Verse 31, and he shall send forth his angel with the sound of the great trumpet. See? And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So we see here from the word itself, you know, this disproves that rapture doctrine and shows it to be false. Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, it says, and at that time shall Michael, who is like Elohim, shall stand up the great prince who stands over the children of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that are wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And we know that knowledge has been increased in these last days. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on the brink of the river on this side, and the other on the brink of the river on that side. And one said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him that lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half, 3.5 years. And when They have made an end of breaking in pieces the power of the holy people. All these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not then, said I, O my superior, what shall be the issue of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But they that are wise shall understand. And from the time that the continual burnt offering shall be taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But go your way till the end be, for you shall rest and shall stand in your lot at the end of those days. So Daniel was told that he would have to wait. Daniel was a righteous man, even though he was in a time of captivity. John chapter 10, start in verse 17. John chapter 10, 17. It says, therefore does the Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it away from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment received I from my Father. There arose a division among the Jews because of these words. And many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you hear him? Others said, these are not the sayings of one possessed with a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? And many of the blind had their eyes open, even of the Pharisees, the leaders. In verse 22, and it was the feast of dedication. It was Hanukkah at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Yahshua was walking in the temple in Solomon's porch. The Jews therefore came all around him and said to him, how long do you hold us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Yahshua answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, these bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep. He's telling them they weren't his followers. They weren't his people. They may have been his people physically, but spiritually they were not. In verse 27, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And we know that as we've been reading the book of Maccabees, we've seen the miracles. We've seen in the Word all of these things that Yahweh has done for his people. And he says, no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. So when we think about that sacrifice of that woman and her seven sons, how faithful they were to the covenant. Yahweh is going to remember her and remember her son. In verse 30, I and the Father, we are we one with the Father, brethren? That's the question I have for you today. This month, Devin, is a month of ordinal perfection for those who are spiritual, for those who are keeping the covenant. They're going to be lights in the world, just like Yahshua the Messiah. But the pagan, those who are out following the devil, those who are out selling the goods of this world, or who are into the merchandise, who are into the spirit of the times, are blind. They're not going to be able to see it. They're going to miss it. They're not one with Yahweh. The Jews took up stones again to stone him, and Yahshua answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from the Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, "For a good work we stone you not, but for blasphemy. And because that you, being a man, make yourself Elohim." Yahshua answered, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, you are Elohim'? If he called them Elohim, to whom the word of Yahweh came, and the scripture cannot be broken, because it doesn't contradict. Do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, 'You blaspheme, because I said I am the Son of Elohim'?" And we know in Psalm 82:6, it says that we are sons of Elohim. "If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do them, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I in the Father." They sought again to take him, but he went forth out of their hand. And he went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was at the first baptizing. And there he remained. And many came to him, and they said, "John indeed did no sign, but all things, whatever John spoke of this man, were true." And many believed on him there. See, we have to get to a point that many are going to believe on our word, because we are teaching exactly what Yahshua was teaching. Excuse me. One we are. We must become one with the Father by being faithful in all the commandments, brethren. For our closing passage, turn over to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 44. "And Yahshua cried and said, 'He that believes on me believes not on me, but on him that sent me. And he beholds me, beholds him that sent me. I have come a light into the world, that whoever believes on me may not remain in the darkness. And if any man hears my sayings and keeps them not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejects me and receives not my sayings has one that judges him. The word that I spoke, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I spoke not for myself, but the Father that sent me, he has given me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life eternal. The things, therefore, which I speak, even as the Father has said to me, so I speak." And we have been given that same commandment, to go forth into all the world and make disciples of all nations. And that's what it tells us in the end of Matthew, the Great Commission. And that's why it's so important for us to understand that Yahweh is in control. And he's the one that's giving us this opportunity to go forth and share this message with many who are out there in the world that need to hear this. See, you think basically that you've been called for a special purpose, and that's true. Yahweh has called you out of this world for a special purpose. Each one of us has a ministry. Each one of us has a mission that we have to accomplish in our life. In this 10th month, Tevet, the month of ordinal perfection, there are a lot of spirits that are in the world at this time. Majority of them are negative, evil. But we have to show the world the positive spirit, the Holy Spirit, that Yahweh has endowed upon us, that he has given to his people. You can be in total darkness, but as soon as a little light comes on, that light overcomes the darkness. We are that light following in Yahshua's footsteps. He is the light of the world, and each one of us, as a part of that light, must brighten the world in which we are a part of. So, brethren, as each one of us seeks to be servants of Almighty Yahweh, doing his commandments, overcoming this world. Let's think about our forefathers, the spiritual forefathers who've gone before, who've given their life that we've been reading about in the book of Maccabees. Let us be as strong or even stronger because we know that we have but a short time before Yahshua returns. And all eyes will see him when he returns. May Yahweh bless each one of us as we seek to do that which is right in his sight. At this time, if you would, we'll have a closing prayer. Father Yahweh, we love you. We thank you for the many blessings you've bestowed upon your people. For this double blessing, not only to have a new moon day, but on the Sabbath. We know that the seventh month is a high Sabbath, but the Sabbath day is the beginning of the Holy Convocation. So, Father, we know that this is a doubly blessed day for each and every one of us that is faithful in doing your will and keeping your covenant law. Help us, Father, as we gain and do our best to open ourselves to receive the implanted word that we'll hear later on this Sabbath day, that you might lift us up, each and every one of your servants, to a higher purpose, to a greater blessing, as we seek to do that which is right in your sight. We love you and thank you for the great sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, and it's in his holy name that we come before you, seeking to do that which is right. So, Father, forgive us our sins, bless those who are in the prayer list, and again, give us a nice, wonderful rest as we are about to take our rest so that we can get up and worship you again later this day. In Yahshua's name, we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. Now, we'll have a closing song. We're going to sing number 12, In the Shadow of